Okay, we are recording now. Thank you, Alan. Okay, so let me bring this up. And just as a final check on here, do you see my highlighted circle?
Yes.
Okay, good, thanks. Okay, welcome, folks. So tonight's presentation is on keeping passwords safe. And the URL down at the bottom is where you can pick up a copy of the deck if you want it. It's there now. We will have that on screen later on as well. And, yeah, so we'll get started. So the meeting tonight, I'm going to be doing the presentation in really sort of three chunks, if you will. The first one will be talking about passwords in general and the idea of what makes a good password and a bad password and why you need good passwords. And then the second part of the presentation is going to be talking about a particular solution for allowing you to keep all your passwords organized and safe, and some additional capabilities that a piece of software that is available free of charge can give you. And then the third part of the presentation will be a little bit more advanced usage of that particular piece of software to be able to synchronize your passwords between multiple devices. So if you ask, how many websites do you use and other services, not just websites, but services that you use on the internet that require a password? And then ask yourself if they're all good passwords. And then ask yourself, do you actually remember all of them, or do you have to write them down or something like that? If to that you can, the second question, you can say, yes, they are all good passwords, and you do remember all of them, thank you very much for attending tonight's presentation, and you can go have your beer and wings right now. But I assume that most people are in the same position that I'm in, that although I have good passwords, I can't remember all of them. So let's start off by looking at what makes up a bad password. So one of the first things is if it's short. So if it's under 12 characters, nowadays, that's generally considered to be a bad password. Password crackers can run through millions of passwords per second, and so they can crack passwords under 12 characters relatively easily. If it's a dictionary word, the attackers aren't dumb, so they will actually feed many dictionaries, including foreign languages, specialist dictionaries such as a medical dictionary and things like that. They'll feed that into their attacking software, and so they will try all the words that are available in an attempt to just crack passwords where people just used a word that happens to appear in a dictionary. If it has information about you, so your name, nickname, your partner's name, pet's name, zodiac symbol, phone number, things like that, if somebody can research a little bit of information about you, then they can try information or passwords that might be related to all this personal information. Common words and phrases. So password, password one, password with the O replaced by a zero. Those are all easily cracked. Saying my password is secret, luck of the draw, frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a damn. Any common phrases in that, they will use just like a dictionary attack. They will have common phrases that they will feed into it and try all these common phrases, tens or hundreds of thousands of them, and in an attempt to crack a password. Any pattern matching, QWERTY, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and it doesn't help to add on 9. The last one, you might think, oh, that looks rather random, but if you look at QAZW, SXEDC, and if you look at your keyboard, you'll see that that is a easily done pattern on your keyboard. And so that's a known password that a lot of people use, and so crackers will quickly crack passwords like that. If a password gets reused, if you happen to have it that your password got compromised in one place, then it could be compromised elsewhere. So, for example, if Facebook got hacked and all of their accounts and passwords got compromised and you happen to use that same password on Twitter. If they can link the username, they could try that same password on Twitter and compromise your Twitter account as well. If a password is written down, it is potentially something that can be gotten by somebody else. I'll talk a little bit more about that. That's not, I don't think, 100%. If you share a password with somebody else, somebody that you trust nowadays, maybe tomorrow you're not going to trust them quite so much. And saved in the browser. And this one I'm going to spend another slide on, the idea of saved in a browser, because I know a lot of people do that. All of the browsers make it very easy that when you log in somewhere and they say, oh, do you want us to save this so that we can log you in the future and you don't have to log in manually. So because a lot of people do this, I just want to spend a little bit of time on it. What is the problem with passwords that are saved in the browser? You know, so can somebody else access those passwords? Now, if you're not logged into the computer, I would say that probably not. But if you are logged into the computer, well, like most things in computing, that depends. So Firefox, by default, will display all of the stored passwords. So if you're logged in on your computer and you walk away from it, and Firefox is your default browser, and you have saved your passwords in Firefox, then anybody who comes up to your computer can go into Firefox, and they can actually get all of your stored passwords all on one screen. Now, Firefox does allow you to set a primary password that would force you to actually come up with this separate password to be able to access those saved passwords, but it's not by default. So without a primary password, as I said, anybody who can access your computer unlocked and logged in, they can access all of your online accounts. So other browsers like Google Chrome, Microsoft Edge, Internet Explorer, Opera, and Brave, they all prompt you for your Windows login password. So it's a little bit of added security, but is it that much security? Because does anybody else know your Windows password or to get logged onto your computer so that you can use your computer? A lot of people think of the Windows password as being something that is not all that important. With all of those browsers, and if you've been saving your passwords in the browser, if somebody else can log onto your computer, they can access all of your online accounts. So I think saving your passwords in the browser is a fairly significant risk. So what makes a good password? Well, let's start by just saying everything opposite to what I said makes a bad password, but I want to concentrate on a few main points. So a long password, at least 12 characters, multiple words. I like to think of passphrase rather than a password. So three or more, preferably words, and not a common phrase, and unique, that it's not used anywhere else. So every online service having a unique password. So those three are the sort of main things I think of as being what makes up a good password. But can you remember 5, 10, 50? How many online services do you actually have? Okay, now we'll get into the second part of the presentation, and that's a solution to this quandary of how do you have good, unique passwords, long, how do you remember that 10, 50, 100 that you actually need to remember? So I recommend that you use a password manager. So a password manager is a piece of software that's running on your computer, and basically it keeps an encrypted database. So they're also called password vault or password safe. And what it does is it allows you to create entries for each service that you use on the internet, and each of those entries can store the login name and the password, and then they will almost always allow you to save other related information in along with that. You need to remember one password. And that's the master password that opens that database file, and then you can access all of the entries within that database. If you don't open it up with that one very strong password, then you can't get access to any of the information that's in it. It's all encrypted with very high-grade encryption. So there's a lot of them to choose for. There's free ones and paid ones. There's one security forum I frequent that actually listed 75 different password managers that were available. So the question is how to choose.
Chris, before you go on, there's a question here. What about random passwords? Are they good?
They are good in the idea that they are very strong passwords, I don't like them because they are harder to remember. Now, with a password manager, strictly speaking, you don't have to remember your passwords at all anymore, but I still like to be able to remember them, and I'll come back to that point in a few slides. Anything else, Alan?
No.
Okay. So I chose one, KeePass Password Safe. And the things I like about it are, first, it's free and open source. It has a good feature set, so there's a lot of capabilities that are built into this particular program. It was actually first came out in 2003, and when it comes to security, long history is actually very good. It gives an opportunity for a lot of people to vet the software and validate that it is actually working as intended, doesn't have back doors and things like that. Very frequently updated. So it's been updated over 80 times over that since 2003. And frequently updated is very important as well. It tells me that this particular project or piece of software, it's being actively worked on. Okay, if you get a password safe that the last time it was updated was in 2007, you know, you look at that and you say, well, are they fixing bugs in it? Are they even looking for bugs? You know, whereas if it's very frequently updated, you know that there are people working on this project. It has won dozens of awards. And another thing that is really nice is it's available for many operating systems, Windows, Mac OS, iOS, Android, Linux. They even have a port for BlackBerry. So it's available for many, many operating systems, and they share the same database file. So you can actually use it on different platforms, and if you just copy the database file itself between the various platforms, you can actually access your passwords on those different platforms. So to get started with this, you go to keepass.info, and this is what the homepage looked like, I guess, probably about a half a year ago or so, because this was last updated according to this screen in May of 2020. It's definitely been updated since then. That's the home screen for it, and if you look on the left-hand side, you'll see Getting KeePass, and there's a Downloads link. And so if you click on Downloads, it brings you to the download screen, and the top left option in it is always the latest version for Windows with the installer program. To the right of that, you'll see that there is a portable version. I'm not going to get into the portable version. Anybody who knows what that means, there is a portable version that doesn't require installation. Most people, I think, would be best served by the installer for Windows version. Down at the bottom, we have other downloads. So you can see there are versions for Android and the iPad and Mac OS and so forth. So you can go down if you have a different operating system that you actually want to use. You can go down and get the links down there for that. So in this case here, I would just click on the download now beside the installer for Windows version and go through the installation process. So once you've installed it, you run the program, and it looks pretty bland. Not an awful lot going on here. And in actual fact, you'll see that there's only two options that are available, new and open. So new would be to create a new database for your passwords. Open would be if you happen to already have a KeePass database from a prior installation or something like that, that you could just open that file directly. In this case, we're going to pretend we have nothing. So we click on the new, and then it'll come up and it'll ask you, where do you want to have the database located? You can put it anywhere you want. It defaults to your documents folder, but you can move it to a different location if you want. And then you choose a name. In this case, I just called it passwords-joe-user. You can call it anything you want. I do recommend you leave the KDBX file extension. That will be associated with KeePass. And so if you later on were to just double-click KDBX file, it would actually open correctly within KeePass. Then it asks you for a master password. And this is that one password that you need to know in order to open your database at any time in the future. So you can retype, you can put in your master password and then retype it, or if you want, you can just click on the three dots, and that's to show hide password using asterisk. And if you click on that, it'll actually show you what you've what you're typing in for your master password. So in this case, I use Blue Skies Are Falling. So what would make a good master password? Well, it's the same thing that makes any good password, only this one, maybe even take it a further step, because this is the one thing that is going to protect all your other passwords. So again, long, at least 12 characters. I would suggest make it even longer than that. Multiple words, passphrase. I would go more than 3 words. Make sure it's not a common phrase. Make sure it's unique. You don't use it anywhere else. And make sure this is something you can remember. So Blue Skies Are Falling, Ran Faster Than Snail, Shoe Leather Hat. You know, any of those are good, but not any of those, because a lot of people have seen this now. So, you know, you don't want to use one of those. Come up with something of your own, something that you can remember. If you forget your master password, you will never be able to open your password database again. So make sure that you can remember it. Now, this is one of the things I said earlier on, don't write down your passwords. Well, this is one, if you think you might forget it, I say write it down. Okay, because this is so critical that you be able to get back into your master password, into your master database. So if you do write it down, make sure you store it in a secure and preferably accessible location. Putting it into a safe deposit box is nice and secure, but it gets kind of hard to get to that location and get it when you need to get access to your passwords. So if you think somebody else might come across it, store it without any context, or some kind of misdirected context, so they won't realize that this is actually the password for your password database. Okay, so you can see here, you can click on OK after you've put in your master password. And then it'll come up and it'll ask you for some optional information, a database name and a description. I just leave them blank. It's really of no consequence. And there's a bunch of other tabs there. If you're of the curious sort, by all means, take a look at them, but I think the defaults on those are all fine. Only play with that if you're willing to accept the responsibility for maybe making a choice in there that you'll come to regret later on. So take a look, make sure you understand what's going on before you make any changes there. It'll next come up and ask you if you want to print out an emergency sheet. And say it says it should be printed, filled out and stored in a secure location. What does it actually look like? This is an example. So it'll have the database file already filled in. Okay, so it's got its full location and the file name for it. And then it has a blank spot where you can, once you've printed it out, you can print in what the master password is for your database. Now there's also a line there for, they say you should regularly create a backup of your database file, and you can write in where you store your backups there. I don't personally think that this is all that useful. I think everybody should have good backups all the time anyways, and so if you know where the original database file was, you can always restore that from your backups. But you could use that for putting in, you know, I have a copy in my safety deposit box or whatever. But I think what might be more useful is to type in the username and password to sign into your computer. Why? Because if somebody else needs to get access to this information, okay, and you want to allow them to get access to this information, and I'll talk more about that later on, they need to get onto your computer first in order to be able to get to your password database and the KeePass program. So it might be a good idea to put in your username and password to sign into your computer there. Just an idea.
Couple of questions, Chris.
Yep.
Can a Windows device with a fingerprint scanner be set to use the fingerprint for individual programs or even websites such as apps in an Android device?
There are some capabilities there. I don't have any personal experience with them myself. But certainly Microsoft is pushing the idea that websites being tied into the Windows Hello authentication so that you could authenticate using Windows Hello, either facial recognition or a fingerprint scanner. Presumably there are some other solutions as well, but I'm not familiar with them.
And to make a stronger master password, should you use numbers and characters too?
Yes, but I don't find it too critical as long as you have it very long or very many words. So personally, I think things like Blue Skies Are Falling is like 21 characters long or something like that. It's four separate words that are not a common phrase. I think that's plenty strong to go with something like that, but it doesn't hurt to throw in special characters or numbers.
And Tom mentioned a couple of things here. One, he says ditto for Fido key. That must be something to do with the password.
Yeah.
And second factor authentication. And it's good to use other keys easily available on your keyboard.
Yep, sure. And anything I think the most critical thing is that you remember it. It's long and it's not a common phrase and it's not used anywhere else. But anything that works for you, some of the samples that I actually had for it, going back to there, anything like that, I mean, I think those are all very strong passwords. Some of them have extra characters in them, like asterisks, hyphens, periods, exclamation marks. You could have numbers, anything like that. I think those would all be quite strong passwords. Now, KeePass also has some technology built into it, rate limiting, that makes it very difficult for somebody to throw millions of passwords at it to try to crack your database. So there are some other technologies that are built into the program to help along that lines as well. But yeah, whatever works for you, but just make sure as a minimum, it's long, not a common phrase, and not used anywhere else.
Yeah, Tom says passwords with more than 20 characters are hard for OPH crack for Windows passwords.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, once you get up to 20 characters, it's a very strong password.
And Dennis is asking, he shares passwords with his wife. She uses an iPhone, he uses a PC and a Samsung phone. Can we share KeePass in one account?
Yes, you can. Multiple people, it might get a little bit tricky to do it in an automated fashion, but certainly in a manual fashion. I'll be covering that later on.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. So once you've created your master password, it'll open up the program and it'll look something like this. So one of the things I want to point out is that it automatically creates these categories in the left-hand column. Personally, I don't bother with categories. I just leave them in one long list. But if you want to, you can create your passwords or your entries in the password database under different categories. If that helps you find particular entries, you can use them. You can add additional categories or delete categories just by right-clicking over there and choose for add or delete. So first thing you want to do is add an entry. So you can click on the Add Entry button on the toolbar, or you can go to the menus and go Entry, and there'll be a drop-down menu, and it'll be Add Entry. Or you can right-click over on the right-hand side and choose Add Entry, or you can hit Control-I. So a lot of ways that you can actually create a new entry in your password database. When you do, it'll end up looking something like this. So I filled in a little bit of information on it. So I titled it Facebook. So this would be my login for my Facebook account. My username is the email address, joeuser@example.com. And I have a password, and I've repeated the password in there. So that's the sort of basic level that you want, is that level of information in your entry. You can show the password at any time by just clicking on the three dots. And then if you're entering it in, you don't have to repeat it because you can actually see what it is. So in this case here, I entered in a password for my Facebook account. Friends are just the best. Again, strong password. It's long. It's multiple words. So it's five words long, and I'm not using it anywhere else. So it's a good strong password. You can see the quality in here says that it's 76 bits, and I'm not exactly sure what bits means in this case. But at any rate, they're calling it just a middle-level quality, and it's 21 characters long. And quite frankly, I think a 21-character password with uppercase and lowercase letters, You know, it's actually a very good password. So how they're determining that, I'm not sure. But I think that's pretty good password.
A couple of comments in the chat are interesting, Chris. Joss is suggesting that if anybody who speaks French and uses accented characters, that can make the passphrase harder to crack.
Sure. It increases what's known as the entropy, or the entire character set that a cracker has to run through. Anything you can do to make that larger, it only helps.
Yeah, Stuart's suggesting that letters are always better than numbers because each character has 52 possibilities rather than 10.
Yeah.
But Tom says using both gives you 62. And if you add special characters too, that's even better, I guess.
Yeah, I think you're up to 92 or something like that. If you use uppercase, lowercase numbers and special characters, you're up to something like 92 possibilities per spot in the password.
And the final question here, is the assumption of the software that you'll enter the password using English, USA, or Canada?
Nope, there's no assumption made. And in actual fact, I'll cover that off in just a second here. Any other questions?
Nope.
Okay, because generate random password is another option within this program. So if you click on that, it'll come up with an option where you can choose open password generator. There's a couple of other options below it where you can choose these generic categories. But if you go into the open password generator, it'll end up coming up looking like this. And so the settings, you can use the character sets that you want. So you can say, check off the ones that you want, uppercase, lowercase, digits, special characters, brackets, Latin characters, and you can see, you know, accented, your paragraph marker, things like that, all kinds of weird, wacky characters that you can actually choose from that. There's the length of the generated password, so I've left it at the 21. And these four that I've highlighted on here are commonly required. So a lot of places will force you to have uppercase and lowercase, or they might ask for you to make sure there's a digit in it, or that there's a special character. So if you're going to generate random passwords, why not just choose at least those four character options? And that way, in most cases, you'll find that an online service will accept whatever gets generated in here will be acceptable for that particular site. And there's my random password. So you can see that's a pretty strong password. And in actual fact, the quality has actually jumped up to 130 bits, and it's a high-quality password, even though it's still only 21 characters long. But, oh, my God, I never want to have to remember that or type that in. Well, you don't have to, okay? You will never have to memorize your passwords or manually type in your passwords again if you don't want to going forward. And I'll show you how to do that later. But I actually prefer having a password that I might remember it, okay? I don't want to always have to look up my password in my password manager, and I don't want to have something that is too difficult for me to actually type in. If I look it up and I say, oh, that's my password, and then have to type it in, I can look at this, even if I forgot what it was. Friends are just the best. Oh, okay, and I can go and type that in. I don't have to, but it's something that I could do. Just remember that it has to be strong, more than 12 characters, not a dictionary word, not a common phrase, not a keyboard pattern, and so forth. Not used anywhere else, so forth.
A couple of other comments, Chris.
Sure.
Replacing some letters with numbers, such as a letter O with a zero, can obfuscate the password, but leave it easier to read?
Yeah, I mean, it can, but I think that those sort of things are, it's a bit of a mug's game to, you know, trying to do things like that to make it difficult for an attacker.
And Bill's saying some systems don't allow certain special characters. Any idea why?
Yeah, it's just the whatever that system is that they decided what their password policy is, and so they're free to define what is required or what is not allowed in the password. So it's nothing that you have any control over. So if for any reason they say, no, that's not allowed, then you'll have to go back and modify your password accordingly.
Jossie wants to know if KeePass will take Unicode characters.
I believe it does, or it can take Unicode, yeah.
And Michelle says it's recommended you change passwords every 3 months. You need to change the master password every 3 months. You need to change the passwords in the password manager.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of changing a password unless you think that it might have been compromised. So I know other people will argue with me on that, but I prefer to have a very good password and then never change it unless I think it's been compromised or there's some valid reason that I specifically think, oh, this must be changed now for the following reason. Other than that, personally, I'm not a fan of changing password. Anything else?
Not right now, no.
Okay. So one of the nice things about KeePass, and most password managers will have this as well, is some kind of notes field where you can put in related information. So in this example here, I have an entry for Holiday Inn. So I might put my reward certificate number in if I'm part of a rewards program with the Holiday Inn. I could put in the phone number for the booking. I can put in information about particular trips that I'm planning, information about what the booking reference is for any particular booking that I make, make a note that they have my MasterCard on file, that I pay on arrival, that I can cancel up to 2 days before arrival with no penalty, all that related information that I can have in that one entry that I don't have to go hunting around for that other information. Kind of nice to have it there. You can store any information. Phone numbers, expiry dates for subscriptions is kind of neat. So if you subscribe to, printed magazine or something like that, you can put in what the expiry date is in there. Confirmation codes that you're given by different organizations and so forth, put them in the notes field. Why not? It's just all in that one place. You can include sensitive information because this is strongly encrypted information. So you can put your credit card number in, your passport number. Whenever a website is asking for security questions and say, where were you born or what was your first pet's name and things like that, you can answer the security questions. You can put them into the KeePass entry as well. I'll have some other hints about security questions coming up later. So here's an example of a credit card that I have. So my MasterCard, well, I don't have a username for my MasterCard unless I have online access to, getting my account information or something like that, but I may not. So it's just an entry for my MasterCard. So I can put in my card number, the expiry date, the security code that's on the back so that if it wears off from going into my wallet so many times, I can still access it. The number to report a lost card. I always find it funny that, on the back of your credit card is the number to call if you lose your credit card. And so you can put that into there. I know you can get it elsewhere. One of the other things I found really cool for credit cards is you set up automatic payment on these ones and then you get a new credit card and all of a sudden you have to remember, oh, who's got automatic billing on this? So I put in my entry for MasterCard, Bell, Hydro, Water, a magazine, all of those are doing automatic payments. And so as soon as I get a new credit card, I just come here and I go, I got to go to the Bell site and update my credit card information. I got to go to Hydro, I update my credit card information. So it makes it really, really simple for you when you get that new credit card. A passport. So you can put in your passport number, where it was issued, all the sort of information that you may be prompted for when you go to book a flight or a cruise or something like that, the expiry date. You could put in information about the Government of Canada's travel advisory website so that you know that that information is there. If you have traveler's insurance, you can put in the phone number to call them as well as your policy number, things like that. You put all that information into an entry for passport. But, hang on a second. If I'm putting in information about my passport and I'm traveling, but KeePass is on my Windows computer at home, I need that information while I'm traveling. There is a port for this program called KeePass Droid, which is a version of KeePass that runs on Android. And I can actually have my KeePass database on my phone, which I will have with me when I'm traveling. And details a little bit later on about how to set that up. You can also add attachments to entries in KeePass. So if I go back to my passport one, I can go onto the Advanced tab, and then I can go to the File Attachments section, and I can click on the Attach button, and then choose to attach a file. And I can go to passport.jpg, which for me, if I open that up, it's actually a picture of or a scan of my passport. Now, is any customs agent going to accept this as valid information? Probably not. Better than not having it at all, probably. So at least you've got something that you could show somebody and say, you know, I lost my passport or was stolen. Here's what it was, and who knows, it might help you. But it's easy enough to have it with you in your KeePass database. Okay, now that we've got some entries into KeePass, how do we actually use them?
Just before you go on, question about passwords still. Some sites require that you change them regularly, like the government or the city of Ottawa. Do you suggest using rotating passwords?
I don't really care what it is, as long as it is strong and unique. You know, so if you're forced to change it, you're forced to change it. So, you know, you're going to have to go through that. Just make sure that your replacement password is a strong password as well.
And is the picture of your passport encrypted also?
Yeah, everything in the database completely is encrypted. It's not just the username and password. The entire database is encrypted.
That's it.
Okay. So, as I said earlier on, you don't have to remember or manually type your password ever again if you use KeePass. So, how do you actually use them? So, you open up KeePass, and here I have three entries. I have my entry for Facebook, Holiday Inn, and Passport. So, you could double-click on the name or the title of any entry to open it up, and it'll open up just like it was when you created the information. And then you can show the password. In this case, friends are just the best. And you'll notice that it automatically highlights it if you show the password, which means it's selected. So you can then copy the information of the clipboard and paste it in at a website. Okay. There are some other double clicks that are available to you. If you double click on where it says username, it'll actually copy the username to the clipboard. If you double click on the entry in the password column, it will copy the password to the clipboard and its actual password that gets copied, not the dots that you see on the screen. If you have URL entry filled in the entry and you double click on that, it'll open up your browser and go to that particular web page. And if you double click on the notes, it'll copy the entire notes column or the field to the clipboard, and you can paste that in somewhere else to use it. So anything that can be copied can be pasted. And most notably, you would use that for username and password. So this is one step up from just opening it up, seeing what your username and password is, and then going and manually typing it in. You can actually copy that information. So items that get copied to the clipboard are only copied for 12 seconds by default. You can customize that under Tools, Options, Security to anything that you want. Personally, I find 12 seconds is a little bit short, so I expand it up to 30. The reasoning behind this is that if you're using your computer and you double-click on a password and then you go and you leave your computer and somebody else comes along and they paste the contents of the clipboard out into Notepad or something like that, they would get your password. Well, it automatically gets cleared for after 12 seconds. As well, it's put onto the clipboard in a very special manner. So anybody who has used the clipboard manager in Windows 10, you know that you can do Windows V to paste, and it'll bring up a list of all of your recently copied information. And that set of information can actually be shared across the internet and things like that. Well, this information, when it gets copied to the clipboard, it doesn't get copied in a manner that can be picked up by the clipboard manager. So it's quite a secure way of doing it. There's technologies that are built into here that prevent keyboard loggers from actually being able to get the information when you're copying and pasting. They will see a control V when you paste it. They will not see the actual password if you have a keystroke logger and things like that on your computer. So what you could do is double-click the URL to open up the browser to the sign-in page. So in this case here, I have a site virus total that I have an account on. So I could double-click that. It brings me up to the login page. I can then switch back to my KeePass database. I could double-click the username to copy it to the clipboard, and then I could paste it in, either right-click and choose paste or Control-V into the email address field, switch back to my KeePass database, double-click on password, that copies that to the clipboard, go back to the password field and paste it in there, click on sign in, and I'm logged in. So that's one step up from just manually looking at it and manually typing in username and the password. You also have auto-type, and this can automate it to a further step. So this is an optional feature. You don't have to use it, but it's built in, and it works quite well. And what it could do is pass the username and the password to the website login page in a single operation. The defaults often work. So test it out to see if the defaults work. If it doesn't work, you can customize it. But in most cases, I find that the defaults actually do work. So here I've come to the login page for, or I come to the homepage for VirusTotal. And you can see that there's a link at the top for sign in. So I click on that and it brings me to the login page. So the first thing I do is I note what the actual login page is, and I'm going to need that later on to paste it into my KeePass entry. So note that URL because you'll need it later on. Type in your username or your account number or whatever it is. If it's a bank, it's typically an account number. Press the tab key once. So don't use your mouse during any of these operations. Press the tab key once. If that brings you to your password field, then that's good. Type in your password. Press enter. And if that logs you in, then you're good to go. The defaults will work for you. Okay. If not, note what the exact keystrokes are that you need to use, tabs, arrow keys, home key, whatever, needed to log into the site. Again, it has to be done through keystrokes as opposed to clicking with your mouse, and then you'd be able to customize things for that particular website. So now I created a KeePass entry for that site, VirusTotal. My username, in this case, they use an email address, so I put that in. I put in my password, and I put in the URL to that sign-in page for VirusTotal. Now all I have to do to log in on that particular website is I open up KeePass, I double-click the URL field. It will open up the browser at that login page. I just have to make sure that my cursor is in the in this case, it's email address, but it's your account name, your account number, whatever that piece of information is. Click in that field. Make sure your cursor is there if it's not there already. Then you switch back to KeePass, and all you have to do is, with the VirusTotal entry highlighted, you press Control-V, which is a standard for paste, or you could right-click on it and choose the option for Perform Auto-Type. It will automatically switch you back to the web browser. It'll put in the information of your username, your password, and log you in. So that's a step up. I know that there are some password managers that will allow you to integrate it into your browser such that when you go to that website, it will log you on totally automatically. You don't have to do anything. I don't like that. I like that when I go to log into a site, it's because I purposefully have decided that I want to go to log on to that website, and it's not something that somebody else could do if they just came across my computer while I went off to get supper or something like that. Okay. So I like it that it's a very purposeful act that I log into a particular website. I do it. I need to get into KeePass. I need to supply my password to that before I can actually get into any protected site. Okay, auto-type customization. I mentioned that if it wasn't username, tab, password, enter, then you have to customize it if you want this to work. So what you do is you figure out what are the correct keystrokes to sign in, and then you customize the KeePass entry for that particular site. So here we are back into our VirusTotal entry in KeePass, and there's a tab for auto type. You come in and you say overwrite the default sequence, and you can see the default sequence is there. Username, tab, password, enter. Okay. Click on edit, and then you can actually put in whatever you want. So there are standard field names that you can either type in or just click on the standard field names there for title, username, password, URL, so forth, and any special keys like tab, enter, left, right, up, down. If you had to type in, you know, your password is, and then follow it with your password or whatever, you can actually put the characters in that field as well. So you can define whatever sequence you need to type in to actually enter in the password successfully to log into that particular site, and then that should work for you. There is some extra help, and the URL is there, keepass.info, help base autotype HTML. So it gives you a little bit more information about how to customize these entries. Any other questions right now there, Alan?
Yeah, one more. Tom's suggesting that financial-related passwords should be maybe kept in your head, things like banks or PayPal?
I certainly wouldn't disagree that that is a stronger idea than putting it into even KeePass. But, I mean, KeePass, I do trust that it's a very good solution for saving it. But if you wanted to enhance it even further, not adding it even into there, sure, if that works for you, that's great. One thing I'll say is that if you have a financial institution and you've kept it in your head, but your financial institution has an option to say, oh, I forget my password, reset it by sending me an email with some information, you better make sure that email address is just as protected as your bank account password was. Otherwise, anybody could be able to go in, compromise your email account, and then do a reset on your bank account, and they would get the reset code sent to the email address that they have access to. Anything else?
No, that's it. Thanks.
Okay. Some of the advanced features that are built into KeePass. So there is multi-factor authentication. So rather than just a password to open up KeePass, you can use a key file, which is actually just it's a text file with a long string of characters in it, and you actually need that file to be accessible when you log in. You can also use Windows user account as a second factor of authentication where you would have to provide that. YubiKey, which is a USB type key that you plug into a port, and that would have to be present in order for you to actually open up your KeePass database. So there are those capabilities as well if you want to add additional strength to opening up your KeePass database. There's TAN support, and TAN is transaction authentication numbers. There's some sites, I think this is more in Europe and Asia, that they use these one-time passwords that you have to provide in addition to your account name and your normal password. So it does support that if you have an account that requires TAN. In the passwords section, you can look for duplicate passwords within all your entries. So once you've added them all in, you can go in, you can say find duplicate passwords, and then you can fix them so that you have unique passwords everywhere. You can look for similar passwords. So if you're in the habit of saying, you know, password one, and then the next site is password two, the next site is password three, you can find those similar ones and maybe make them more unique. There's password quality. So you can actually look and see what KeePass rates as the quality of your passwords for all of the passwords that are in your password database. And you might look at anything that's really low in its rating and decide, well, maybe I'll strengthen up that password, make it a little bit stronger. You can put in if you have passwords that do expire, and you can say when they expire, and you can find passwords that have already expired or that are going to be expiring in the next 90 days or whatever. So all of those things that can help you to manage your existing passwords. There is a history feature, which is kind of neat. So it will automatically keep this. So every time that you save an entry, so if I go into VirusTotal and I put in some additional information or I change my password and I save it, it saves the history. So I can go back to these previous versions of any of those entries and look up the information that was in there at that particular point in time. And it tracks them by date and time as to when it was actually saved. And there are plugins for the program. So these are add-ins to the program written by other people. There's over 160 of them, and they cover a whole gamut of capabilities. So you can have ones that will do backups of your database for you, different passphrase generators, or you can have ones that will give you pronounceable passwords. Things like that, import and export functions. There's integration to various cloud services and so forth that you can use as well. I will say that they're a little bit, they seem to be a little bit of a mixed bag in terms of how well they're documented and so forth. So it's a, maybe a little bit of, you know, be careful when you go into that. You know, they, here there be dragons. And so there's every possibility that something in there won't work as smoothly as you hope. Okay. Any other questions before we go on to the phase three?
No.
Okay. I'll talk now about synchronizing between devices. So KeePass is really, really nifty if it's just on one device, your computer, your desktop computer, but its power can really be expanded if you synchronize between multiple devices that you have. We all have phones as well as laptops, as well as desktop computers and tablets and all kinds of different devices. Wouldn't it be nice if we have KeePass on all these devices and we have the same password database available on all the devices? So KeePass is available for other operating systems, so certainly Windows, Mac OS, iOS, so Apple phones and tablets, Android devices, phones and tablets, Linux. As I said, there's even a port for BlackBerry. So there's all kinds of other operating systems that it's available for. So if you want to use KeePass on multiple computers or computing devices, and you want to share your database across all those devices, you have two choices. The first choice is to do manual syncing of the database. And this is quite easy to set up. It's certainly the easiest to set up, but it does require a manual action any time you want to get them to match. So if you make a change in one of your databases and then you want it to be matched on another one, you have a manual action you would need to take to do so. Or you can do automatic synchronization, and that's a little bit more complex to set up, but you only have to set it up once. And after that, you can edit entries on any device, and the changes will get automatically synchronized to all of the other devices you have that are set up. So we'll cover off manual synchronization first. So I'm going to have some assumptions here, and this is mostly because this is what I have, and so it's something that I could validate the exact steps that were required to do this, but keep in mind that your mileage may vary, and you can probably figure out the steps on your own device by comparing what I've done on here. I'm going to assume that one device is a Windows 10 computer, and that I have KeePass already installed on it, and that I have at least one entry that I've created in that KeePass database. I'm assuming that my other device is an Android phone. And you should be able to set it up to synchronize with other devices, such as an iPhone, iPad, whatever. Okay. I have not tested to see what differences there are in the processes, and I certainly don't know how to copy a database onto an iPhone or an iPad. But I presume that if you have an iPhone or an iPad, you would be able to figure out how to adjust my instructions to fit your particular situation. So just an overview of this, and then we'll go into the details. So one-time actions that are required. So you install KeePass Droid on the phone, because KeePass Droid is the version of KeePass for Android. I'm going to copy the KeePass database to the phone. I'm going to configure KeePass Droid on the phone so that it knows where to find the database file on that phone. And then there are repeated actions. So every time that I make a change to, say, my KeePass on my desktop, and I want to update a copy on the phone, I would have to do several steps just to get that updated file over there. Okay. Basically, I'm going to be doing step two each time that I need to update it on the phone. So KeePass Droid, is available from the Google Play Store. The URL is there, and I think Alan will be pasting that in. And again, this deck is already available on our website, so you can copy and paste it out of there. So you just go there from your phone and install the KeePass program on your phone. Don't bother creating any KeePass entries on the phone, because we're going to actually copy our database from our Windows computer over onto the phone. And again, you should be able to do this with other devices, but you'll have to adjust them to how you do things on that particular device. So my Windows configuration, I have my database is in my Documents folder, and the database is called passwords-joe-user.kdbx. And you can adjust that to your configuration, however, wherever you have it, and however you have that file named. Okay, so copying the KeePass database to the phone, I have three slides that are going to go through this. So make sure that KeePass is closed on the computer and on the phone. Okay, you don't want to be trying to copy some file that is locked for exclusive use because you have the program open. So just make sure KeePass is closed everywhere. Plug your phone into your Windows computer. Then you run File Explorer on the Windows computer. And then you follow the steps on the next two slides. So here we are in Windows Explorer, File Explorer. And I'm at the Documents folder. And you see there's my passwords-joe-user.kdbx. So you right-click on your KeePass database file and choose the option Copy, or if you're a fan of keystrokes, with the file highlighted, you just hit Control-C. That will do a copy as well. Then under the My PC section of the this PC section of Windows File Explorer, you go to your phone. In my case, it's called Galaxy A5. And so yours will be named according to whatever your phone is called. And you'll see over in the right-hand side, you'll see the one entry just called phone. And you double-click on that, and it'll open it up. And there will be, right at that level, there will be a folder called KeePass. Okay? That'll be created automatically when you install KeePass on your phone. You double-click the KeePass folder. You'll probably see an existing file there, which is just the default KeePass database that got created when you installed it onto the phone, and it's called KeePass KDBX. I just ignore that. You can delete it later on if you want, or you can just ignore it, just leave it there. And then I right-click empty space, and I choose paste. So I copied the file to the clipboard, my KeePass database, and now I paste it onto the phone, or you can hit Control-V as well if you're a fan of keystrokes, and that'll paste it into that particular location. One time only, you need to tell KeePass Droid on the phone the name of the new database file that's on your phone. The next three slides, you only have to do it once. So you open up KeePass Droid on the phone, and you click on your phone's back button. So in this case, it's a little bit off the actual screen. It's below the actual screen on my phone. I tap the back button, and it comes up with all this gobbledygook. And you tap on the folder icon. So this will allow us to go find the KeePass database. So it brings up this list. I can go tap on the hamburger menu at the top corner, and then I can go down to my phone, and I can go and I can see my KeePass folder, and then I see the two files that are there, the KeePass KDBX, which was the default one, and I also see the file that I pasted in, passwords-joe-user.kdbx. That's a copy of my password database from my Windows computer. So I tap on that to select it. It'll come back to this screen, and all you have to do is click on Open, and then it'll come to the screen, which is the normal when you first open up KeePass Droid. but now it's pointing to a different file. Make sure you have used this as your default database, because you've just gone through all this trouble of telling it what the default database is now. So it's something different than it was before. Enter your KeePass database. So this will be the exact same password that you use on your desktop computer. Tap OK, and then it'll open up. Verify that you see the same entries that you see on your Windows computer. If you do, then you're good to go. So basically, at that point, everything has been configured on your phone so that it will be able to open up, put in your password, and you're good to go. So using it, you open KeePass Droid on your phone, you just enter in your password, tap OK, and it'll open up. Any questions yet, Alan, or?
Carry on.
Okay. So now when you make a change to the KeePass database on your Windows computer, you might want to have the update over onto your phone. Okay. Now, most people, I think if you only make one or two random changes in there, you might not care if that update is onto your phone. But at some point, you're going to decide that, okay, I've made some changes and I want those changes to be available to me on my phone. So you're going to go and want to copy that updated database over onto your phone again. So you repeat the previous slides that were just the portion copying KeePass database to the phone. So they were labeled as slides 1, 2, 3. They actually looked like this. So again, you just make sure that KeePass is closed everywhere. You plug your phone in, you run Windows File Explorer, and then you find your KeePass database on your Windows computer. You copy it to the clipboard, you go to your phone, you paste it in, and you're done. Okay. Next time you open up KeePass on your phone, it will have the new information from the updated database. Okay, so that's doing it manually, and those are the relatively simple steps, especially like once, you know, going through it once, pointing to, you know, your correct file on the phone and so forth. It's a couple of steps to go through, but it's pretty straightforward. But it does require that you do that manual copy anytime you want the file to be updated. You can also set up automatic synchronization, which is a little bit more involved to set up, but you only have to do it once, and then it'll automatically take care of any changes wherever you make them.
Yeah, Chris, sorry, before you go on there, there's a bit of chat about passwords earlier on, and Josh was asking, how can banks get away with just using a four-digit number for a password? And Karen wants to know, what are the suggestions for dealing with sites that don't allow passwords that meet kind of minimum safeguards that you are recommending?
They're both sort of related. What can you do about it? Stop using that site? Really? I mean, unfortunately, that's about the only option. I mean, if you want to deal with that particular site, I don't think you're going to be able to call them up and say that you expect them to change their policy so that they don't allow it to log in with just four numbers. Or you think that they are allowing silly, simplified passwords, or they don't allow complex passwords, and you want them to change their policy? I don't think it's a bad thing to complain. I think it's unrealistic to expect that they're going to change because you don't like it.
It seems odd that banks would have such a short password. I thought he was talking about pins where you actually need a physical card, but there must be banks that have a really short password. My bank requires complex ones, and it will offer two-factor authentication. So
yeah, my banks that I use certainly allow for much more complex. I don't know that they restrict it to requiring long and complex passwords, but they certainly do allow it. I would certainly complain to any financial institution and say, you know, what are you folks doing? If enough people complain, hopefully they would change it. It does surprise me that a financial institution would allow you to have a four-digit only password, or I guess a lot of them, it doesn't really surprise me that they would allow it, but they would force it to only be a four-digit password is really, really odd. Yeah, very, very strange. Okay, so if we carry on then, so the assumptions on here, again, are going to be one device is a Windows 10 computer, KeePass is installed on that, and you have one entry in it, and the other device is an Android phone, and I'm going to assume that you will use Google Drive to sync. And I know that you can do this through other cloud services and so forth to do the synchronization, but this is the one that I have available to me, and so I was able to validate and put out step-by-step what steps you would take to actually do this synchronization. You can adjust to have it work with something else. It's just that I haven't tested it, and so you would have to play around a little bit to make sure that you get it working right. So basic idea behind this is that I have a Windows computer with my KeePass database on it. I have a cloud service where my KeePass database is going to reside as well. And I have a phone, which is going to have a copy of my KeePass database. If I make a change to the KeePass database on my Windows 10 computer, the Google Backup and Sync software running on my computer will notice that that is a changed file and is in a directory that needs to be synchronized with the cloud. And it will automatically copy it up to the cloud, usually within a couple of seconds. And then the phone has a program on it called Drive. It's Google Drive, but they on the phone they just call it Drive. And it will see the changed database up in the cloud, and it will automatically copy the file down to the phone. And then that'll work in reverse as well. So if I make a change on my phone to the KeePass database, the Google Drive on the phone sees that this is a file that needs to be copied up to the cloud. When it gets copied up to the cloud, Backup and Sync on my computer notices that the version of the file in the cloud has changed and will copy down that updated copy of the database onto my Windows 10 computer. All automatically, all very quickly. So an overview of what we're going to go through here is that these are all one-time actions. After you set this up, it just automatically happens. You don't have to worry about anything after that at all. First is that you do need a free Google account, okay, if you don't already have one. I think most people already have one. And quite frankly, if you have a phone, an Android phone, almost certainly you've got a Google account because I think you need a Google account in order to run an Android phone. So you install Google Drive Backup and Sync on the Windows PC. It's free software. You move your KeePass database to Google Drive on your Windows PC. So you put it in a specific location where it will look for files that need to be copied up to the cloud. You can configure Google Drive on the phone. And again, on Android, it's just called Drive rather than Google Drive. You install KeePass Droid on the phone. You configure KeePass Droid on the phone so it knows where to find the database, and that's it. So, stepping through it in more detail, all Google accounts automatically have a Google Drive. So if you have a Gmail account, it is automatically a Google account. If you don't want Gmail, you can actually create a Google account that is separate from that. Basically, any email address can be a Google account. Android automatically uses a Google account. And I would suggest that the simplest way to deal with this is make sure that you use the Google account that you have on your phone. Use that account throughout all of the instructions, and things will go a lot smoother. So first thing you want to do is verify that Google Drive is actually working. So if you browse to accounts.google.com, and if you get requested, log in there using your Google account. And again, if you have an Android phone, the simplest is going to be log in using the Google account that your phone uses. Once you're logged in, browse to drive.google.com. You should see a screen that looks somewhat similar to this. The important things in this are really that you see here Drive. Across the top, you'll see that you're actually signed in, so you'll see some kind of indication there, and you'll see down here a whole bunch of icons with My Drive, Shared Drive. You might not see Shared Drives, but you'll definitely see My Drive, you'll have these other ones shared with me and trash and all the rest of it. And you may see one or more files listed over here on the right-hand side. But if it looks similar to this bar across the top and the bar going down the left-hand side, you're good to go. Your drive, Google Drive is working properly. So the next thing you want to do is install Google Drive's backup and sync software on your Windows PC. So you go to google.ca/drive/download, and then you hit the download button on there and go ahead and do the installation on it. During the installation, you'll probably get prompted at some point for a Google account to use, and use the Google account that's on your Android phone. After your installation, you will end up with a Google Drive folder on your computer. Normally in Windows File Explorer, it'll be under the Quick Access section, or it'll be listed, it will be listed as, in both these locations, under the Quick Access as well as under C:\users/ your user account name, and then Google Drive after that. So here's how it looks under the Quick Access. So you can see that it lists it there as Google Drive. So you can go to there, right-click on a blank area in there, and create a new folder. The reason why I like to create a new folder is you can use your Google Drive for all kinds of stuff. What I want to do is isolate the password database into a folder all by itself, just so it doesn't get mixed in with my other files. So name the file KeePass, or whatever you want to call it. And then if you haven't already installed KeePass, do so on your Windows computer. And when prompted for the location of your database, remember way back in the presentation, when you first created your database, it asked for a location, and I chose the Documents folder. Well, you could choose your Google Drive instead. So you go to C:\users/ your username, mine is C:\Google Drive/KeePass as the location of the database. If you've already installed KeePass, you probably have the KeePass database somewhere else, like your Documents folder or something like that. If that's the case, run KeePass, enter in your master password so you're into the program, click on File, Save to File, and then choose your Google Drive folder. Okay, so again, C:\users/C:\Google Drive/KeePass, and then click the Save button. What will happen is it will actually copy your database to that new location, and it will update the configuration so that in the future, when you open up KeePass on your Windows computer, it will look for it in that new location. So the next thing you want to do is verify that your database is actually being synchronized to the cloud. So you browse through drive.google.com and make sure you're signed on using that same Google account, and then verify that your database has actually been synced to that folder. Next thing you do is install KeePass Droid on the phone, same as we did before. Don't bother creating a KeePass database entries. You're going to automatically synchronize your Windows computer's version of the KeePass database. And again, you should be able to set this up without a great deal of difficulty with any other device like an iPhone, iPad, or whatever. Next thing you want to do is configure Google Drive on the Android phone so that it makes sure that your KeePass database is always available on the phone. So the next two slides only need to be done once. So on your phone, you go to the Drive icon. It might be in, example on here, we actually have a Google group of icons, or it might be just in the list of all your apps that are available on your phone. Somewhere you'll find that Drive icon. You open that up, and then you tap on the Files folder icon down in the bottom right-hand corner. This case, you go to My Drive. So this is the Google Drive, if you will. They just call it My Drive on the phone. And you'll see the KeePass folder that is actually there. So you tap on the KeePass folder, and then you'll see your actual database file. In this case, keepass-joe-user.kdbx. You click on the three dots, and there'll be an option there, make available offline. If you don't do this, it won't actually copy the database file down to your phone. It just sort of, you know, the way Drive works on the phone is it doesn't try to fill up your phone with all of the files that you have on your Google Drive. It only does it selectively to the files that you tell it to make available offline. So you tell this one, you want this to be available on your phone all the time, whether you're online, offline, doesn't matter. Then you tap your phone's back button until you exit from Drive. So that's a one time only. You have to make sure that you tell it, make that file available all the time. Next thing you need to do is update the KeePass Droid on the phone to point to that offline copy of your KeePass database file. You only have to do this once. So again, you go into KeePass Droid, very similar to what we did before. You tap the phone's back button, come up with this screen, you tap on the folder. But in this case, rather than going to the local KeePass file folder, we're going to go somewhere else. We're going to go tap on the hamburger menu. And in this case, rather than going to what we did before, where we went to the phone and then pointed to the KeePass folder, what we're going to do is go to the Drive. You go to My Drive, and there will be the KeePass folder. Will be there because that's being synchronized between your Windows PC and the cloud and your phone, and you'll see your file there. Tap on that once, and then tap on Open. Again, make sure it says use that as your default database. Put in your password, tap OK, and you're done. Okay. Verify that it actually did bring the right file down and that you see the same entries that you see when you load it on your Windows computer. So using KeePass Droid, basically the same idea as when you're doing manual synchronization. You just open up KeePass Droid on the phone, you put in your password, tap OK, and it'll open up with all your entries. So once you've done that, it is automatically synchronizing changes, whether they occur on your phone or whether they occur on your Windows PC. And you can have multiple computers and multiple phones and whatever you want the synchronization to happening. You get that set up on each of those devices, and then you make a change anywhere, and the changes will automatically be synchronized between the devices. The only thing I'll say is don't make changes to both at the same time. So that can confuse the program. There are some database record locking features and so forth in it that it can recognize if a change was made on both at the same time and automatically meld the changes between all of them. I recommend that you don't count on things like that working correctly. Just don't make changes to both at the same time. Okay, any questions before we go into a little bit other information?
What happens if the application is open on both devices?
As I just said, there are some features built into KeePass that are supposed to be able to allow it to recognize if something was changed on both and allow it to synchronize the, or meld the changes together and so forth, as long as it wasn't one entry that was changed on both. If you end up with that where you've changed one entry on both at the same time, you can end up with, you know, some conflict messages that you'll have to resolve manually. But with it synchronizing between the devices through the cloud like this, I recommend that you get out of any habit of where you would actually make a change in both locations at the same time. At some point, if you get a conflict, you're just going to have to try to figure out what did you change in both locations at the same time. There's no real easy way around that if you make a change in more than one location at the same time.
I think Lucy is wondering about the security. She says cloud servers are where hackers are focusing their energies.
And if you have given your password database a strong, unique password, you should be able to leave it lying around anywhere, and nobody should be able to crack it. It's high-grade encryption, and it's highly dependent on the password that you use in KeePass to open up the master database.
That's everything, Chris.
Okay. So a few extras that I just want to talk about. Periodically, make sure you do back up your KeePass database. If it ever gets corrupted, you can just recover that backup file. Okay, you don't want to lose all your passwords because the only copy you had of your KeePass database just got corrupted. Okay, so make sure you are doing backups. This is more generic, but you should be backing up everything. But in the very least, make sure you do back up the KeePass database. In the menus and the help file, there's a lot of other options that you might want to look at. One of them I mentioned before, the clipboard auto clear time. Default is 12 seconds, which to me was a little bit short, so I like to lengthen that to something longer. You can lock your workspace after a period of inactivity, so you can go into the menus. You can set it so that if you have no activity in KeePass, it'll automatically lock after 5 minutes or an hour or whatever you want, so that if you leave your computer unattended and KeePass was open, it'll automatically lock and somebody coming by your computer can't get access to all your entries. One thing to keep in mind, KeePass won't lock if an entry is actually open. So if you double-clicked one of those entries and it's open on screen, KeePass won't lock in that circumstance. If you're in the main window, if you hit the escape key, it'll immediately lock the workspace. So if you're going to walk away from your computer and you've got KeePass open, you can just hit escape to lock it. There's an option for view always on top. If you are copying and pasting information like usernames and passwords, it can be handy to have it so that KeePass always is on top of all other windows, so you don't have to hunt for it underneath things. That idea of autofilling web logon credentials, that can be really, really handy, speed up getting logged onto sites. And the options that go into find duplicate passwords is really nice, as well as looking at the strength of passwords and so forth, can help you get your passwords in better shape.
Finding duplicate passwords is a bit odd. I found out today that KeePass has a backups folder built into it.
Yeah.
If I run duplicates, it finds a whole bunch of duplicates in the backup listings.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, never thought about that. Is it looking at duplicates as being the backup as well as the main entry, or is it different entries?
Well, it's the same entry. You just backed up 6 times.
Oh, that's weird. I don't think I've ever seen that.
I've never seen that backups folder before.
Yeah, okay. Not sure about that one. Okay, some other password-related issues that people should think about. Security questions. So there are some sites that are on the internet that if you forget your password, if you answer some security questions correctly, they will reset your password for you. You know, things like, you know, what city were you married in, what's your favorite food, and so forth. What you have to ask yourself is, could anyone find the answers to those with a little bit of research about you online? You know, what you talk about on Facebook or Twitter or things like that, could they figure out, you know, what city you were married in or what your favorite food is? So one solution is to give nonsense answers and then record the answers in the KeePass notes field. So what's your favorite author? Sleep. What high school did you go to? Plastic. You know, something that nobody is going to guess this. And you can always look it up in your KeePass database if you need that information to do a password reset. Solution two is one that I kind of like, is answering correctly because that makes it easy to remember, but always add a secret word. So an example might be you pick tap as a secret word. And so your favorite food, it's not pizza, it's tap pizza. Where were you born? Tap Ottawa. So you're never going to have to go to your KeePass database to look up, oh, what was my answer to my favorite food? Because you know what your favorite food is, it's pizza, and you just use that same secret password and secret word as an addition all the time. Okay, so that's another way to do it. The most secure, quite frankly, is to go back to that one, nonsense answers, and keep them in the KeePass notes field. Okay, if there is a data breach on a website, you want to find out about it, because they may be able to get your password on that particular site. What you can do is register your email addresses at a site called Have I Been Pwned? And if you register your email address there, they will email you if your address shows up in a data breach somewhere. And then if it does show up and you get an email that says, oh, okay, there was a breach at Home Depot, and 10,000 people had their accounts were copied off somewhere else. You can go to that breach site, change your password, and change the answer to the security questions. Okay. Really, really good site. I've been notified, I think, about three data breaches where my email address actually showed up in the data breach. And so I was able to go very quickly to those particular sites, change my password before the hackers managed to compromise my particular account on that site. Digital inheritance. Don't let online accounts die with you. Okay. In order for other people to be able to get access to your online accounts, it might be impossible. Some sites, if you try to go and your mother passed away and you want access to her Facebook account, good luck. They will not do it unless they get a court order, and it's going to be really hard for get a court order to get Facebook to give up that account to you. Even if it's possible, it'll always be difficult to get somebody to get access to that online account. And it can be very, very costly for you to do so. So you can provide access to other people. So it's all there in your KeePass database. So the minimum information you want to provide to somebody else is that first you have a KeePass database, where it is, and how to get onto your computer, and the password to open the KeePass database. If you give that information to somebody else, then they can get access to all of your online accounts in the event of incapacitance or death. So you can also print out that emergency sheet. If you didn't print it out when you first installed it, if you go to the File menu and go to Print, Print Emergency Sheet, you'll get that where you can fill in that information to be able to provide it to somebody else. Okay, the database. You can put in what the master password is, and then maybe use that other field for the username and password to sign into your Windows computer. Some extra helpful information, you might want to give links to the KeePass help info to the person so they can figure out how the program works, or you could show them how the program works. And then let them know what you want done with online accounts. You might say that, well, Twitter, I don't care, just let it die, whatever happens. On Facebook, I'd like you to make a posting saying goodbye to everybody for me. Or if I'm going to be incapacitated for 6 months, just put a post saying don't expect any updates for the next 6 months, whatever. Whatever you want done with the online accounts. Not bad idea to make a KeePass entry. Just detailing information about what you want done with what accounts. So maybe name it !readme, so it's sorted right at the top. And if they open that up, the notes field, you can just put in, log into my bank account, do the following, log into Facebook, do the following, log in here, close this account, whatever you want done with your online accounts. So don't forget, they will need to get onto your computer. So they will need username and password to sign onto your computer in order to be able to get access to your KeePass and the database. So who do you give this to? So I would suggest some of the options might be to leave it with power of attorney. If you've given somebody power of attorney, you've already given them the ability to rip you off and sell your house and steal all your bank accounts anyways. So maybe if you trust them enough for that, maybe you trust them enough for this information as well. Your executor might be a good choice. I don't know. Anybody that you trust. A safety deposit box is not a bad choice if people know how to get, the right people know to get access to that in the event of an emergency. So incapacitance or death. It's a safety deposit box is kind of nice because it's not something that is very easy for other people to necessarily get access to. But they can get access to it. Another thing to think about is if you're the executor or the power of attorney for somebody else, what about their online accounts? What do they want done? It's a good thing to ask for this information before it's actually needed. So ask those people, do they want to give you access to those accounts in the event of incapacitance or death? And then what do they actually want done with that information? And that's all I have for tonight. And oh my God, I finished right on time. Any other questions?
Yes, Jocelyn wants to know, who's at the heart of KeePath? Is it an individual, a company, or something else?
I don't actually know. I suspect that it's probably a very small team. But there is information on their website. It's just I have never actually looked it up.
Natalie is asking, what if there's an aggregate breach? It's hard to know which site or which password needs to be changed.
Aggregate breach. I'm not sure what's meant by that.
I guess...
Actually,
where there's a number of different websites.
Yeah, let me unmute everybody right now, and if I can get to it.
That was a question from Natalie.
Yeah, what I'm going to end up doing is I can't force an unmute all, but what I can do is... Okay, Alan, you're going to lose. I'm going to lose you here. I'm going to mute all, but I'm going to allow everybody to unmute themselves. So now anybody can unmute themselves. Natalie, I see you did. If you had want to clarify on that question. Natalie, could you clarify your question? Natalie is gone.
While we're thinking, Jocelyn says, for an estate, can you set an alternate password in KeePass to let access to a subset of entries?
Yeah,
all work-related passwords.
Yeah, I don't think there's that concept. I've seen that in some other password managers that will allow that idea, but I don't think KeePass includes that capability, no. I guess the best workaround for that would be set up multiple KeePass databases, and you could have one, you know, that has just those entries that you want other people to have access to. The awkwardness of it is that you would have to, you know, go and open up the specific one you want at any particular point in time. But I guess your personal one could have, you know, everything, and then you just duplicate entries to a secondary one for just those ones you want somebody else to be able to access.
And Lucy's asking if there's any kind of passwords for dummies or something.
Passwords for dummies.
I've lost the keeping passwords safe for dummies, like cavemen.
I think tonight's deck is about as simple as you want. I did it in the particular order that, you know, the simplest information that I think everybody needs is first, and then it gets more and more complex as you go through. So if you download the deck at the URL you see on the screen right now, you could go through it in order, and you could feel free to just start. If something seems to be too complex, stop there. I'm always available if you have questions as well. You've got my email address. It's on the OPCUG website. Feel free to email me at any time if you have questions, if you want clarification, if you want additional in-depth information. I'll help out as best I can.
And Natalie's microphone's not working, so she says she was informed that I was part of a hack that included 50 sites, but they weren't named.
They weren't named. Okay. I think that have I been pwned? That website will, what they do on there is if data breaches happen, they usually end up somewhere in the world that somebody posts this 50 million email addresses that were grabbed at various sites, and they will look through them. They find any email addresses for ones that they're tracking, and they will inform you if it shows up there. Beyond that, I don't know what you would do if you're just told that, you know, somebody hacked 20 sites, but you don't know what sites they are. I guess you could go around and, you know, change the password on all your most important accounts first and then decide what you want to do. I don't know. If anybody else has any other ideas on that, feel free to chime in. Anything else, Alan?
Yeah, she said she had to go through all of the subscriptions for that email address, and it was a real pain.
Yeah, it would be. I try not to get overly paranoid if there's been a data breach somewhere. First of all, if there's been a data breach, it doesn't necessarily mean that your passwords were compromised. What it does mean is that they probably have some information such as your email address and maybe your phone number and some other information like that. Any site worth its salt will be encrypting passwords anyways, but those passwords could be faced with an offline attack to try to decrypt those passwords and then be able to access those people's accounts. If you have very strong passwords, like 20 character passwords, you know, even brute attacks on that password database, it's not going to work. It's going to take tens or thousands or whatever years for them to get your password. So I try not to get too overly paranoid, but if I do see that, you know, one particular site was breached and they got the password database, even if it's encrypted, you know, I'll go if it's just one site and I'll say, okay, I'll go and update that one. But I try not to worry about it too much.
Okay, I don't see any more questions in the chat, but there's quite a few people found your presentation very informative and interesting, and me too. Excellent presentation, says Wayne. So thanks very much, Chris, and everybody attending.
Okay, thanks very much, everybody, for attending. And again, you got my email address. If you have any questions, by all means, send them on. This is not the only password database program that's out there. So it's one that I found useful. You may find other feature sets more appealing that are available in other ones, either for free or paid. So this is not the be-all and end-all, but it's one that I like. So if anybody else has one that they think is particularly great, if you want to do a presentation, we'll certainly welcome other presentations, probably a Q&A some night or something like that. So we'll leave that open for everybody.
Q&A.
Yeah. Okay. With that, I'm going to stop the sharing. And what I'm going to do is we're at 9:08 right now. So how about we give us about 3 minutes or so, and then we will kick off with Q&A. So if anybody wants to stick around for that, that'd be great. And we have some material in the queue already. And if you have additional questions or whatever, we'd be pleased to entertain them going forward. So let's give it another 2 minutes, and then we will start up with Q&A.
And you're going to switch to a second recording, Chris?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Oh, I'm so negligent on things here. Okay, so we'll stop that recording.